Folks, back on the Boss Man Show here with Coach Jeff Jones, Old Dominion Monarchs of Conference USA, 7-3 in conference play. Coach Jones, how things are done in Virginia, man, Old Dominion?
We're hanging in there. It seems like it's Groundhog Day. Every day is the same. You wake up, you go get your COVID test in the morning, come in to work and practice. Not a lot of variety this year.
Coach, how was it this year for you guys, man, trying to prepare for this weird year, guys leaving campus for a while, not being around you guys? So how was that going from on campus to being virtual to getting you guys back to trying to get ready for a season October 25th, November 25th there? So how was all that for you guys, Coach?
It's been different. There's no question. It's been different. You know, we've really stressed and preached to our players that We got to remain flexible because, you know, things are going to change. And if we don't adapt, you know, things aren't going to turn out very well. And I'm so proud of our players, you know, the sacrifices that they've made, the commitment that they've made. It's not normal for a college student to forego a social life. But basically, that's what our guys have done. I mean, we've gone even further than what, you know, the state and the school kind of mandate in terms of the rules and restrictions. Our guys, you know, no clubs, no restaurants, you know, none of that. They can't have visitors. You know, obviously the you know, wearing the masks and all that kind of stuff. You know, they made the decision. They kind of took the pressure off me when it was time to decide what we were going to do around Christmas. You know, we sat down and we talked, and, you know, I kind of laid it out for them, and that if they went home for Christmas, and I can definitely understand, you know, them wanting to go home and getting at least a couple days break. But if they came back, we would have to quarantine. We'd have to pause. And they were unanimous in saying, no, you know, we've done all this stuff since July because we want to compete. We want to see if we can compete for a title. And so we're gonna stay here. So I thought that showed a lot of maturity on the part of the young men on our team, and as I said, a commitment to, you know, try to make this the best year that we possibly can.
And academically, Coach, having to go from in person to virtual for me would suck, Coach. So how key was your academic advisor, since the coaches that you have on your staff, to keep your guys motivated and not really get down, knowing that this learning is different for them, however they going to do it?
And there's no question. There's some guys it's been no problem at all. But there's some other guys that just aren't comfortable, you know, doing it online, doing it virtually. And it's not just the classes. More importantly, you know, and I'm really proud of the academic support that we have here. Amy Lynch, you know, is our academic advisor, and she and the rest of that staff always do a phenomenal job. But what they've done during this COVID pandemic is above and beyond. So we're really grateful to that. But not being able to go in and get that one-on-one help in study hall from tutors and that kind of thing, that's where I think it's more impactful. But we've somehow or another held it together. You know, there's been some guys that have struggled a little bit and have had to work a little bit harder and put in more time, but we got through it for the first semester and are off to a good start from an academic standpoint this semester as well.
Coach, you feel like more than ever, you're more than just a coach now, that you're like a mentor, a father figure, a mm-hmm. counselor. You're like everything in one, you know, but beyond just X and O's, the easy part, but you got to do so much more for leadership now and be a nurturer for your guys going forward here through this COVID year.
Yeah, well, I think even before COVID hit, you know, the nature of our business has changed so much in 10 years, in 20 years, in 30 years. And that shows how long. I'm just getting old. I mean, I've been in this a long time. And just the nature of the job has changed. The duties, the number, the width of the responsibilities is so much different and so much more, you know, than it was when I first got started back in the 80s. You've got to be a leader. You've got to be there. And sometimes, you know, you're going to make some decisions that the players might not like, but you've got to look out for their best interests. But they have to know that you care. and especially now during COVID, when, you know, so much has been taken away, you know, they got to know that we've got empathy, that we're in it with them, that we care about more than just basketball. We care about more than just basketball and academics. You know, we care about their health and well-being. You know, I think the mental health part is underestimated. I mean, you know, when you're a 18, 19, 20, 21 year old young man, and you're basically you're cooped up in a dorm or an apartment, you know, other than when you go to class or you go to practice, that's different. And you know, again, there's lots of people doing it. It's not impossible, but that doesn't mean it's easy. Just because you can do it doesn't mean that it's easy. And so, you know, we've tried when everybody was at home and we were scattered all over the place. You know, we had Zoom meetings every day, and, you know, there were meetings where there was business talked about and what we need to do and this and that, but it was very little basketball. You know, some of it was just catching up and, you know, the banter that goes back and forth, you know, the locker room stuff. Well, the Zoom was our locker room. And so it just gave us a chance to talk. You know, one of the things, and I do, it's weird how it happens, but you know, with so much of a national interest and attention on social justice issues, that gave us something very valuable that was of interest and great importance, you know, to all of us, but especially the young men on our team. And we were able, I think, to probably delve into that more and educate ourselves, talk about issues, and come together, you know, as a group, then maybe had there not been COVID, that, you know, there's more going on and maybe we wouldn't have been able to do as much as we did. So, you know, I think if you look for a silver lining, you know, you can find one somewhere.
You're right, Coach. For me, I never really shared my story with my listening audience about how I grew up in marginalized and from Atlanta, very poor. I'm happy to be where I have a radio show on a platform, knowing that I grew up right by the Georgia Dome and I had nothing as a kid, you know. So how that changed me and how, Coach, 94, Coach, I didn't meet my first white kid, Mexican kid, or Asian kid to play travel baseball, Coach. It took sports for me to meet somebody different outside of my race. So yeah. How sports can intersect life and politics and how we can all come together for a common cause. Old Dominion was winning games for me. I want to get out of town, travel, play baseball. I don't care what race you are, right? So it was like, so just how sports, it brought me together, showing me something different that I didn't really know, because where I grew up at, all I know was black kids around me. So baseball showed me something beyond what I knew in my life at 7 years old. So I know having talks with my listeners with my listeners here and my staff here has really made me better than them here and knowing me better now going forward.
Yeah, I tell you what, I think with sports and the way we talk about it is obviously we want to win, right? I mean, we all were competitors. We want to win. But when you look at it 20 years from now, you know, as you get older, right, and you look back, and I think sports is a vehicle that can educate us, as you say, that can bring us together, that can provide opportunities, you know, to us, you know, as men, that can make us better human beings, that can make us better fathers, better brothers, better coaches, better leaders, you know, better men. And so I think this year that's been highlighted, and I think it's been great that, you know, that our guys have been able to learn, and you know, there were things, quite honestly, for me that I became exposed to that I never knew, right? My education, right? And I was a good student, and I, you know, all that kind of stuff. My education was lacking, not about math and science and English, you know, and but about racism, about systematic racism, and how, you know, how that impacts our country still today, and so, you know, I think having that opportunity, you know, and it was just us, you know, wasn't people from the outside, it was just us, to learn and to talk, and to challenge ourselves to be better, and to you know, take action. You know, I think a lot of, you know, a lot of stuff was said back in the spring and summer. More was said than has been done. There's more to do. And you know, we talked about, we want to take action. Now, you know, our focus has been local. Our focus has been, you know, right here. But we wanted to take some sort of, you know, actions and not just kick the can down the road, you know. But you know, so I'm happy what we've done. But I think this is an ongoing process for us. But it got its start. Coming back to the question, it got its start when we were scattered all over the country.
Oh yes.
And we were on these daily Zooms. And that's what kind of was the impetus and the forum that we had to begin this journey.
Most definitely, Coach. I feel like this journey of COVID and talking about these issues has made teams closer together. Because a lot of coaches tell me it's the closest I've ever had in a group. It's been this year. Because a lot of teams were, like I said, they had practice, they do your own thing. But this year, it's the same thing, the same routine, the same monotony that we're doing together. So that going through it together, being that bunker, is to me, Coach, a lot of coaches told me it's this year, it's made their teams closer than ever before.
Yes, absolutely. No doubt about it.
Now, Coach, for you guys, man, getting started, how was the ramp up for you guys? You got to make it to July, but, you know, guys want to get back at it and go hard. So how was that trying to keep your young men from going too hard too soon to avoid a nagging injury that lasts all year long?
You know, we were just smart. We didn't overdo it. You know, we wanted to give them, because, again, this was their, you know, not just basketball outlet. This was their social outlet, because when they weren't here, they were in their apartments. So, you know, we didn't want to restrict them any more than they had to. I mean, there was very strict protocol of how we can be in the gym and what door you go out and what you do with your dirty clothes. And, you know, I mean, we had all of that. You know, you didn't want to overdo it, but at the same time, you wanted to give them the opportunity to play the game that they love. Once we got into the school year, we just started practicing. You know, and guys, oddly enough, I think they probably enjoy practicing more than they ever have.
Yes.
Then, you know, as things got closer to games, when we realized, okay, we're actually going to be able to play, you know, then we tightened up a little bit and geared it up. But you never knew, you know, around the next corner, if something was going to happen with us, something was going to happen with somebody else, and you were going to, you know, face a pause because of a COVID positive. You know, we were able for 7 months to avoid any positive COVID tests in our program. But just a few weeks ago, we had a few, you know, and it was a result, not of any, there were no violations or, you know, guys, you know, breaking curfew or going, doing stuff they shouldn't have been doing. It just happened, which, you know, is the reality of the situation. So we, you know, we had to cancel 4 games. We've rescheduled 2 more. We played Marshall without 2 of our starters, but you know, we got through it, and the measures that were in place were good, and we kind of, you know, smoothly made that transition to now we're back at full strength, and you know, heading down to Birmingham Friday and Saturday to play a very, very good UAB team, and we're excited. We're playing relevant basketball. We've got a chance to have a very good year, and we just want to make sure that we do everything that we can to help ourselves, because so much has gone into this by so many people, and enjoy and be appreciative and grateful of the opportunity that we have to play.
And Coach, you have a nice balance of your team. You know, your scoring's real balanced. You know, the guys are playing together. You can tell by the stats too. The guys have accepted their roles. So talk about, you know, your guys who are leading your scoring there, like Malik. I'll come off the bench with Austin here, and Kalu, my guy from Lawrenceville, Georgia here, and AJ. Talk about all those guys you have and how what they bring to your team this year, Coach.
Well, you know, all really good young men. You know, Malik Curry is the guy that makes us go. But, you know, as we impressed upon Malik at the beginning of this year, you know, I think we found out a year ago that, you know, we're not going to be as successful as we want, you know, with just Malik, you know, putting the ball in his hands and say, go. So this year it's been an emphasis of trying to get some balance. And, you know, whether it's AJ Oliver, I think he's averaging about 10 points a game, but you know, he's been solid all year long and has had some really big games. Austin Trice, who you mentioned, who's averaging 10 points and 7 rebounds off the bench, you know, playing about 20 minutes a game. The production between he and Kalu Azikiwe, you combine that for our center position, and that's really, really good production right there. I mean, those guys are playing well. Kalu is a young man that, you know, we've been saying for a couple of years now, you know, he's got all the ability, he's got all the talent. He's teased us, but, you know, very quietly, you know, he's put together about 3 or 4 games in a row at a really high level. And if we can get him to produce, you know, consistently down the stretch here, that goes a long way towards helping us be a good basketball team. So, you know, I could go through, you know, Joe Reese is growing up, I think. A guy named Makai Long, who at the beginning of the year he was going to be sitting out because of a transfer. But when the NCAA let everybody play, you know, Makai, you know, is getting an opportunity to come off the bench, and he's made an impact. So hopefully all of those guys and our basketball team are peaking at the right time.
Oh yes.
You know, you want to play your best basketball down the stretch, and you know, we'll see. But you know, I think we've seen signs of improvement, and hopefully that chemistry is kicking in, and we can do some good stuff here.
And you can get a great test against UAB because Coach Candy is coming to the league, and UAB doing a great job, and you can really test yourself. So you have to kind of get to come these next few weeks here because they're playing very, very well over there at UAB. And I know Cam comes to the league, man, it's been wonderful for you guys. Having that value, he's added UAB here.
Absolutely, you know, and they've got the 16-4 record. I think that's what it is. It's a pretty good record. You know, they've just played so many games, and they've got experienced guys, grad transfers like Michael Ertl and Quan. Goodness, I'm forgetting his name. He's a really good player. He was playing great at the beginning of the year, got hurt, and now he's coming back. Just blockbusters. They got the Jemison kid is a big 7-foot kid that transferred from Clemson. You know, they got Jalen Benjamin, they got Lovin and Scott Grayson. I mean, that is the squad. You know, they're experienced, they're tough, they're physical, and they're very balanced. So it's a great opportunity, a great challenge for our team to measure up against them. You know, hopefully we'll play well, and we'll see what happens between the lines Friday and Saturday.
Got another kid on the roster from Milton, Georgia, Brady, tell us about young Brady. What you're seeing for him coming going forward?
Well, you know, Brady O'Connell's a kid. You know, he's from Georgia, but he played his senior year up in Raleigh, North Carolina. So, you know, that's where he was because his older brother Alex at the time was playing for Duke, and so they moved up so that the family was all together. Brady has a lot of talent. He's a freshman. 6'7" wing. I could see him getting to be 6'9" very easily. You look at the body and he isn't finished growing. He just oozes potential. The big thing for Brady is he's got to understand the physicality, the intensity of the college game. And he's just acquiring that, you know, he's not used to that. So you know, again, we see glimpses in practice and he'll do stuff. You know, and I'll shake my head. I was like, okay, not everybody can do that. You know, I mean, he's real bouncy, can shoot the three. But it's just, you know, it's learning. It's gaining that experience, getting that toughness. You know, we think we've got something special in Brady O'Connell.
Yes, and I'm glad you guys keep recruiting Georgia, man. With so many great talents, kids here in Georgia, man. That's why I have you on the show, because I like to give guys from here in Georgia the opportunity to see that there's more than just the 5 schools here in Georgia. So I love that you come here and get players out. I love it.
Well, I appreciate it. And there's some guys down there that we're looking at right now. And I tell you what, another one that we had here, Ahmad Caver. Ahmad is kicking it with the Memphis Grizzlies G League team. He's put together in the last 2 weeks about 4 or 5 really, really good games, and we're real proud of him. And I know how hard Ahmad, you know, has worked. He had a great career here at Old Dominion. I just got my fingers crossed that, you know, he keeps getting better, and that hopefully he'll get that opportunity to jump up and play with the big team down in Memphis at some point.
Yeah, the Hustle do a great job of player development. He's in a great spot for player development in G League teams. I tell you, they do a great job over there with the Hustle. I love what they do over there in South Haven, Mississippi, down there. I love it.
Yeah.
Well, Coach Jones, thank you for all your time always, buddy. I love talking, chatting with you every year, Coach. And you be safe, man, and hope your team does well. Well, keep getting those Georgia kids, Coach. I love it. Keep getting those kids from Georgia. I love it, Coach, all the time.
All right. I appreciate it, boss, man. You be safe now. Be safe.
Sure will, Coach. You too, buddy. Be good now.
All right.
All right.